Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio. Hey guys, if you're going to bet on anything, there's one site, the Action Network. It gives you all the information you need to make a smart, intelligent investment, not only in a bet, but in yourself. I love this app. I've turned my friends onto this app, and they absolutely love it. It's the Action Network. The Action Network tracks your bets on the Action Network app. You track your bets across all major sports in one place. You get school alerts specific to your action, follow your friend's action, and get a real-time notifications when I make a bet. You can see our records from the last 7 days, 30 days, all time, and by sports. Not only can you see what smart people gamble on, but you can find out in their thousands and thousands of articles that dive deep into the things way more than just numbers. Why the bet you want to make is a dumb one, or maybe it's the bet you want to back up for making a bad bet. The Action Network is a one-stop shop for gamblers. It's a gambler's paradise, guys. They can track your bets. They can tell you what bets are good, if you're currently winning the bet, and what percentage probability you have to actually win the bet. You can go against the money, you can go with the shark money, you can read the sharp trends and be a better gambler. The Action Network gives you all the tools to win. So go ahead and track me and follow me, and you can get in the action. GetAction.app/BrandonReef to follow my bets. Go to the Action Network, download the app, be a smarter gambler, and also track the bets of yours so you can see how much money you're raking in. The Action Network. The greatest place on earth to be an informed gambler.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Brandon Reef, joined by JB, Jonathan Birdsall, my man. How are you?
Man, what a weekend.
Yeah, what a weekend. Sorry I was so late getting to you. I had a work phone call I had to take right as we were going on the air, so I had to run a couple ads while I was taking that phone call. But what a weekend. Yeah. You probably saw, and you saw on my Facebook a little bit ago. John, I'm still hurting from the weekend, and it's going to take a lot for me to get over it.
Yeah, you know, the NCAA tournament is so unique that in years past, I have said it. I like it better than the NBA playoffs. But then of course, in a month from now, NBA playoffs kicks in, and then you get more. You know, NBA playoffs is unique because it's drama, but it's like four games of drama, right? But the NBA, I still say the tournament's best because it's one and you got to go home, right? But for one, this has to be one of the greatest rounds of Elite Eight we've ever seen, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Most of the games were very highly competitive and very close, and you had to watch it till the end. There's no such thing as a blowout. When you start talking about Purdue beating Tennessee, and you know, I mean, it wasn't easy. You know, it wasn't an easy game for them to beat Tennessee, right? And then
no, not at all.
I'm sure we'll get into like the specifics of like why they lost and how they lost, but I'm of course historically not a Purdue fan. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in the shadow of Bob Knight, so you know, he had all the titles, so you know, that's who you kinda run with. I still follow the Hoosiers, but there's no way you can ignore the success Purdue has shown in like in the last underneath Painter, right? So and of course I have an associate, a friend that coaches on that particular staff, so I'm pulling for him, and I know you have family in West Lafayette, and they're from there. I'm sorry, you know, I don't want to you're from their area, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's for one Indiana school to only be in the tournament, which is like a rarity. I don't know when that's the last time that one Indiana school actually made a tournament win. All of them, I feel like all of them used to make it, right? Purdue, IU, Ball State, Evansville, Butler. I feel like all of them used to make it, but you know, the dynamic has changed, and Purdue is actually the real elite team around these parts. You know what I'm saying? At least in the last, for this year, for sure. and potentially going for next year. If you, if, you know, I've shared with you like what's coming in for him, and as far as their freshman class. But man, tough loss for Purdue. There's nothing. I mean, there's no reason for them to ever to hang their head down at any point. I, of course, am proud of Purdue, but I want to be more proud of Purdue. I wanted them to get to the Final Four. Like, I know they're – I always say they, you know, they're playing – you know, we use those sports connotations. They're playing with house money or they're playing on borrowed time because it's not really – nobody had them in the Elite Eight. Nobody in the preseason, not nobody, had them in the Elite Eight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, like – and when they got them, you know what I'm saying, when you see potentially when they made the Sweet 16 and when they got to the Elite Eight, you actually feel that, hey, man, you know, they can get there. Especially with them drawing Virginia. Like, man, you know, of all the number ones, I think Virginia, you know, was probably the most, the one that everybody could think, nobody believing in Virginia, especially after last year, you know what I mean? So, they played their minds out, you know what I'm saying, between Klein against Tennessee and even when Carson Edwards playing against Tennessee and then the game that we saw, the nation saw, the performance he put on against Virginia was it took him. You know, I always talk about the draft, the NBA draft. It took him out of basically from after the second round to do his argument that he's going to be in the first round. Now, not going to say top 10. It's not get crazy or nothing like that. But he's
right.
he definitely made a name for himself as a next level basketball player. So still, like I said, I didn't want to be proud of Purdue. I wanted to get to the Final Four, and unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my personal opinion, unfortunately, you know, a couple of referee blown calls, that didn't happen.
Yeah. well, I know a lot of people on were blowing me up on Facebook and Twitter and all that. I did a couple of live reaction, little electric chair shows on Thursday night's game, the final couple minutes. And then I did the final 10 minutes of the Virginia-Purdue game, so everybody saw my instant reaction as it's going. I went back and watched the part where my heart gets ripped out, where I say, before he even shoots free throws, okay, he's going to make the first, and then they're going to tip it back, and that's what we do not need. And sure enough, it happened. I have never, John, I don't believe I have never went from pure excitement and joy in my heart for something that I've never seen in my lifetime for something. The only other time would be when Pittsburgh won Super Bowl 40, when that was the first one in my lifetime I saw them win. But Purdue, about to make the Final Four for the first time and since 1980, since I've been alive, when I was born in 85, to total gut-wrench, rip my heart out, stomp on it, and grind it up. I've never went through that amount of emotions, and I'm still in pain, in shock. Yeah, I'm happy of the season that they had, or I'll say we had. I'm a Purdue fan that we had.
But
it was a great season. A lot of expectations people didn't think. First off, they thought they were going to finish in the lower half of the Big Ten. I thought fifth or sixth. They end up winning the Big Ten regular season with Michigan State. They lost in the first game against Minnesota in the Big Ten tournament. Everybody's like, oh, same old Purdue. Even I said, well, Purdue never plays hardly any very well in the Big Ten tournament. They go to the tournament. The first two games, the Old Dominion game was a rough one. Didn't play the greatest. And then they started stepping it up. Carson Edwards put on a hell of a show. And then you start seeing some, and you know, I got kind of a little bit emotional because the national media of your ESPNs, your TBS, your Charles Barkley, those guys are starting to give pub to Purdue and Carson Edwards. That's your guys. And when a national outlet kind of gives that respect, you know, for those players and that team, you know, it hits home pretty hard with you. And, and it was great to see that Carson Edwards had a hell of a tournament. He's one of only four guys, John, that's won the NCAA most outstanding player for a regional and not won the regional. The other one, last one was Steph Curry. The man's putting up 40 and 42 in back-to-back games, hitting three-pointers that were, shooting from Gary, Indiana, it looked like.
Shooting from the volleyball hash mark. On the floor, man. And, you know, before you go any further, I don't like – sometimes pro guys are the worst. They're the worst guys when they're doing the comparison, man, because I heard anywhere from Derrick Rose – compared him to Derrick Rose, to compare him to Steph Curry, and then I get phone calls because people know that me and you talk about, you know, I get phone calls from friends and family because they know we just they're just as fans as much of our show, and they know I know a lot about sports, pat myself on the back, right? And I want to tell them, like, hey man, Carson Edwards is good, and what he's doing is very unique, but that's Derrick Rose and Steph Curry is a little bit different. They're different, two different body types, and like I said, it's not to shade Carson Edwards. Like I gave him a ton of praise because again, when the season first started, he went to the pre-draft. He declared last year, right? He went to the pre-draft workout, and they told him, dude, you got to learn how to be a point guard if you want to play in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? And I think the first part of this season, he did that, and I think the team kind of suffered. You know what I mean? And, like, after some time, they just say, hey, man, just do what the coach staff says, hey, do what you do best. Don't worry about the pros, because the pros, all that will happen for you so long as you get the national media attention on you, and that's kind of what he did. And he went out there and busted guys in the ass.
Yeah, he literally did.
From everywhere on the floor. I mean, you know, I always make say, dude, he's 6'1". He's got a Tyson. I'm like, he's got, like, a Tyus Jones body type. I don't think he has the handles of a Steph Curry or Derrick. Oh, definitely not this close to him. I mean, come on, Derrick Rose is the youngest MVP we've ever seen in the NBA, and he used to dunk on people. You know what I mean?
I'm tired of Chris Webber saying comparisons.
Yeah, I think people say that because they look alike just a little bit, but they don't.
What?
They don't
because they're both the same skin color. What I mean, light skin black.
Yeah, Derrick Rose just learned how to shoot this year. Derrick Rose could not shoot. Derrick Rose could shoot. He couldn't shoot like that.
He doesn't have the range like Edwards right now.
So it'll be different. Carson Edwards will get drafted, people, if he decides to declare tongue in cheek. If he decides to declare, right? Because like I said, his stock is rising. Like you can call that kid NASDAQ. You can call that kid Mr. Dow Jones because his stock is rising.
Ooh,
and for him
cool.
It would be special. It would be very special, Brandon, and Purdue faithful, and any man and Crossroads listening family. It would be very special if he did decide to come back, because then you would see, maybe, and I would, you know, I'm percentages. You would see 60-40 that could get back to the Final Four and potentially win it if he could come back. But those would be for selfish reasons. And like I said, his stock is probably as high as it's going to get right now.
Yeah, Edwards right now.
Like Lee Miller, take the money and run.
his pro value right now is a 44. He's obviously rising up in some of the draft boards. I told you on Twitter rank last night. You know, I can see him getting drafted at like 30 or 29 by the Warriors, and then he could easily fill in where Quinn Cook. I think he's better than Quinn Cook. I think he's better than Jordan Bell. Now, obviously, Jordan Bell plays more of a shooting guard position than a point guard. But I can see him easily filling in that Quinn Cook. It's a cheaper contract as well because you're going to lose some of those guys probably. So if Edwards does go pro, look for him possibly go late to a Warriors or a Celtics team. Celtics are obviously, you know, we worked out for him last year as well. Personally, I hope he comes back selfishly, as you've stated as well. I think he could do something really special next year. But I think financially, I think based on what he's done this year, there's going to be no better time for him to take that leap, secure your future for your family and for yourself than right now to do that. John, I think for me, what hurt the most, looking back now 48 hours later with this team, and I guess before I say that, hell of a career, hell of a season for Ryan Klein and Grady Eifert. The two seniors for Purdue, just great season. Klein, awesome for all four of his years, and then even the NCAA tournament. So Purdue's definitely going to miss those two as seniors going into next year. But there's a couple things. One, I think it hurt more, John, because we were so close. I mean, literally 2 seconds away from a Final Four. And you know as well as I do just how hard it is to get to a Final Four after all these right. years watching teams. It hurts because I don't think we can get ourselves back into that same scenario. I mean, things have to be perfect. The ball has to go your way. There has to be I don't know if we can get back to that spot without another 20-year try.
Well, you know what, Brandon? I can't necessarily say that, man. I think Painter has entered into the conversations of, you know, the Brad Stevens conversation to where, yeah, Brad never did win a championship, but he always would string together a roster that you would look at sideways and be like, and then guess what? Oh, we're back in the Final Four. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it's more of the system. I got faith in Purdue and Brad and sorry.
I do too. It's just in the back of your mind, you got to think everything lined up perfect for this year, and really last year.
Yeah, well, with the seniors, it kind of fell flat for the seniors last year. But
yeah.
Think about it, everybody. Like I said, cupboard ain't bare. You know what I'm saying? And there's gonna be some new fresh faces that come in. That's gonna come in and kind of take place.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens, you know what I'm saying, on the transfer wire and whatnot. But I kind of believe in the system that they
yeah.
that they're running down in Purdue. And like I said, even though another school, I think Ohio State actually has a better recruiting class, right, for 3-star, 4-star guys. You know what I'm saying? Like Doc says, who ranks these dudes? You know what I'm saying? I got faith in Purdue, and you know nobody had them winning the Big Ten this year, so why would I automatically put them back down to you know number 7 or number 8 in the Big Ten? You know
yeah,
I mean?
One
That's
of the things a good I guess shiny light in the future was, and Painter even mentioned it in his post game. What I listened to was how well the freshmen played for the NCAA tournament, and let alone the Virginia game. Travion Williams was a rebounding machine against Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee has bigger bodies than anybody, and that boy was offensive rebounding like crazy. Aaron Wheeler hitting shots, another freshman. So, the future does look good, but Purdue isn't the only one that's probably going to get better next year. Obviously, Indiana's going to look better, most likely. Michigan's going to be better.
I chuckled at IU, but okay. Michigan,
yeah.
Sure. I got Michigan. Michigan
Ohio
State.
State.
Ohio State. I kind of like what's coming in for them and what
Wisconsin.
Running. Who's that?
Wisconsin. I can see them.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, and then the last thing, what was I going to say? I talked about the freshmen and how well they played. I don't know. I guess to put a bow on it, it was a great season. To look back on it, yeah, in about a week or so, I'll mean a little bit more to me. But, yeah, the coaching staff did a great job. Purdue's going to lose Greg Gary. He is set to become the head coach at Mercer. And who knows if there'll be any more rumblings coming from that Purdue staff. As me and you personally have talked offside, that there's somebody on that roster that does deserve a head coaching job at some point. So we'll see for there. But, no, good season for the Boilers. Nobody expected. Oh, here is my thing. Are the people now off of Matt Painter saying he can't win the big games? He can't win when it comes clutch?
If anybody said that, that's ridiculous. Because, like I said, I know he didn't get to the Final Four, and sometimes, you know what, sometimes in this basketball world, you automatically crown the runner-up. I can't believe how much credit the Fab Five get, and guess what? They never did win anything, technically, you know what I mean? But, they're iconic, you know what I mean? And I get it. But you got to – Matt Painter not winning the big game, stop. He's got a Big Ten trophy down in West Lafayette, so stop.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious because I hear the shit all the time, and – I think I think he proved.
You don't want no one and duns. You don't want no. You don't want. They don't want one and duns and two and duns down in West Lafayette. You see what happens.
No.
You know what I'm saying, with that culture. So,
and I will say,
you know,
I am okay with Painter's. I am okay with Matt Painter fouling, saying to foul there, because I said it before. Even I said, I talked to my roommate and I said, hey, do you foul here? And that way they don't get a chance to fire up the three-pointer. Yeah. You know? So, that's the Purdue Boilermakers. We wanted to spend a little time on that. About, what, five, 6 months? 6 months now, we'll be starting it all over again. More to come on that.
You know what, Brandon? You know what, Brandon? If one thing he probably needs to work on is working the officials. That's what I would say. Work
yeah.
the officials. You know what I'm
Those
saying?
Officials
you see
are
Izzo,
bad.
You see Izzo, you see Coach K, and if you from my decade, 100 years ago, you see Bob Knight. And Bob Knight probably overworked officials, right? But
Calipari.
Coach K, Calipari, yeah, they work officials, man. You got to go talk to them dudes, man, because if they miss something that's coaching, like, you can't let that go unchecked, because either A, you're going to try to get a makeup call, or B, you're putting that official in a position where he doesn't miss a call. And quite honestly, I don't want to go at it again. We talked about it off channel, but they missed some calls, dude. Some bad calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the thing he probably needs to work on. Working the official.
Texas Tech knocks off Gonzaga convincingly. This Texas Tech team is the same team last year that knocked out the really good Purdue team last year. So no surprise, Texas Tech is doing what they're doing, and they're playing now in the Final Four.
Yeah, it's a shame on me when I fell in my bracket that I kind of slept on Texas Tech. They lost to Villanova. They lost to the national champion. And this is something I probably should just kind of pick. Hell, they returned everybody for the most part, all the important pieces. And
yep.
they looked real good against – I mean, prior to the Gonzaga game, they looked – I mean, oh, my God, they dismantled Michigan. They dismantled Michigan. You know what I'm saying? Michigan scored, I think, 44 points
yeah.
total. You know, I don't even think Bo Wagner could have helped them. You know what I mean? But, and then, of course, now, you know, it comes to find out that Coach Beard is, you know, he at one point was a, you know, just an assistant with Bob Knight or whatever. And that's all fine and rosy and fine and good. Makes people feel good. Gives it recognition so that you can put, you know what I'm saying, a legend with this current team. But they're kind of standing on their own. And they got as much as right. They got as much a chance to beat Michigan State than anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. I've liked Texas Tech kind of the all year. They obviously, you know, won the Big 12 with Kansas State.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Texas Tech, besides last year, last time they were good was back when Bob Knight was leading them, and they had Andre Emmett as one of the players. And that was also back when Bob Knight, they had the – I don't know if you remember on ESPN back, they used to have a walk-on reality show with Texas Tech where they had a bunch of players try to be a walk-on for the team. It was like a reality show base. So, but no, it was good to see Tech in there, somebody new. I didn't want to see Gonzaga, even though I had him in my bracket. But big fail on my part as well, not taking Texas Tech. And I just like you, I mean, we both believed in Michigan, that they're always good in the tournament. And they had an easy path. So, moving to Sunday's games, Auburn and Kentucky. Now, Nick Petey has even said himself that Auburn was a team not to sleep on. That was back during the conference tournament.
Yeah.
And what was your thoughts on some of that Auburn-Kentucky? Going to overtime, P.J. Washington played just a game of runs. Bryce Brown trying to be like Carson, make us forget about Carson Edwards. My God.
You know, man, Auburn, what can you say? I mean, they dismantled – it was a tough game, but they dismantled North Carolina, and then they took on another blue blood, and they didn't play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like Calipari wasn't coaching. It wasn't like P.J. Brown wasn't playing out as – I'm sorry, P.J. Brown, oh, my God. P.J. Washington. Washington wasn't playing out of his mind. He played. He you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure he led his team in scoring. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but you know what? Kentucky didn't have a good guard play that particular game. Tyler Hero, I know, has been a much lauded figure around Lexington, and I think he's just okay. He's not, you know, necessarily Jason Williams white chocolate, and he ain't necessarily Bobby Hurley either. I think, you know, he better come back next year, right? But they just didn't have overall good guard play, and Auburn's guards played out of their mind.
Yeah.
Literally.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they believe, and like I said, they kind of won one for the Gipper because I can't think of the kid's name right now, but he went down in an injury against North Carolina, and
yeah,
you know, they just kind of won one for him, and which kind of made a spot for playing time for some seniors, and that's kind of what's missed in all this tournament talk when we start talking about the Blue Bloods, who kind of got one and done or two and done on their roster. Juniors and seniors are who have made their deep tournament runs, either getting to the Sweet 16 or getting to the second round of the, you know what I'm saying? They don't like, they don't want their careers to end. You know what I mean? So Auburn has juniors and seniors on their team, and some other special players as well that we probably will see on the next level. But and then, you know, Bruce Pearl, you know, he's a rah-rah guy, and he's got him rah-rahed up, and here we are. They're in the Final Four for the first time. Even Charles Barkley couldn't even get him to the Final Four. You know what I mean? So, you got to tip your – you know what, Brandon? I know we ain't giving our picks. I got them getting to the final game.
Okay. Interesting. I have them as well getting to the final game, only because in one of my pools, that's actually for some money. The only way I can win now – I'm in the lead, but the only way I can win is if Auburn – runs the table. So I need them to run the table. So, but that was interesting game. I really liked enjoyment. And like you said, all four games were close the entire time. And that leads us to the final game of the night, Duke and Michigan State.
I don't have any more fails.
Michigan State wins. I am so sick. And I know people are going to be the opposite of this. I am so sick of Michigan State. I'm so sick of Tom Izzo. I'm so sick of Michigan State being in the Final Four. I'm tired of Tom Izzo's antics every single time. It's like it's on fucking repeat. Yep, I'm going to say the F word, people. It's like it's on repeat with him, and it's the same shit every single year with Izzo, with how he acts, and then this team, and I'm tired of Michigan State. Now, this is, everybody can pile onto me because Duke's in the national title. You know what? They're not always in there. They don't always make it. So
they didn't make it last. Grayson, you know, had the rim out.
I had to put an ESPN guy on blast last night because he said, just for everybody to know, Duke's only made it to one Final Four since 2004. So this should not be a shocker. And I said, check your stuff there, bud. They won in 2010 and 2015 when it was in Indianapolis twice. So he had to go back. He sent me an apology tweet back, and I said, well, just fix your. Make sure you get your shit straight before you put it out there.
I think you not know that. If you're an ESPN guy,
Doug Kazarian.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got
Doug Kazarian. Put him in a body bag is what I did.
Cool.
So, but anyway, Zion's last game. RJ missing free, and I talked about this all year. RJ misses clutch free throws. The game against Carolina. In the playoff or in the tournament, NCAA ACC tournament, he missed a free throw that gave Carolina a chance. And I said, RJ is going to hit these free throws. It's going to cost him. And you're going to agree with me on this. Duke was playing with a lot of, they didn't have very many bullets left in the chamber, if you know what I mean. If the one game was close and the other game was close, and then another like close game after close game, you're going to bite the bullet at one time.
At some point, yes, you will. Right. Again, kind of just goes down to you didn't really have – you got to bounce. I think Calipari won with Anthony Davis, yes, he had some special, you know, one-and-done players on that team, but he also had some juniors and seniors. And that's kind of not what we have on – this particular Duke team. Jones played out his mind the game before. He's kind of kind of disappeared this one. You know what I'm saying? I know you had a handful dealing with Cassius Winston, right? He kind of disappeared in this one. And then my homie Cam Reddish kind of got out. I mean, I ain't gonna say kind of. He did get outplayed by his counterpart. I won't be so hard on RJ Barrett because I think his game is better when he's shooting from outside. When he doesn't have to necessarily, when he's better going to the hoop, right, driving,
right,
creating is at dribble, shoot a three. You know what I'm saying? Like when the ball goes inside to kick out to him shooting three, dude, I guarantee you, he's probably 60% from going that way. When the ball goes inside to a kick out, then when he has to create a, you know, say a dribble, three-pointer or dribble, jump shot. Now, dribble going into the defense, getting to the paint, and then, you know, getting fouled or whatever. I get it, that you know what I'm saying? It is kind of, especially have a Coach K team. It's frustrating. Like, how do these dudes missing free throws? But again, man, these kids, though they are very elite, they are still very much so freshmen. And unfortunately,
they're just playing high school.
Right. Unfortunately, you know, as much as you see different guys by comparison, like who Cam Reddish is. I mean, I think there's a lot of Paul George in him. You're not going to necessarily see Paul George next year, but there's a lot of Paul George in that kid's game. Cam Reddish, I know you don't chuckle. Don't chuckle. There's a lot of Danny Granger in that kid. There is. I think a little bit better passer than Danny Granger, but there's a lot of – I mean, it's not to poo-poo Danny Granger before the knee injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Danny Granger in that kid's game. And then, obviously, with Zion Williamson, dude, that dude's a difference maker to where I thought – because I watched Michigan State. I watched a lot – of course, we both watched a lot of college basketball. And I thought Michigan State with those bigs, those tall dudes, those, you know, those super seniors that have been there 5 years, 6 years, right? You know what I'm saying? I thought they was going to give him problems. And they didn't. He kind of put himself in foul trouble. That was kind of the problem. And, you know what I'm saying? And he had to be a little less aggressive. But, like, getting rebounds over bigger guys and dunking on bigger guys and making guys think about coming in the lane or getting – man, that dude is super special. Super special, Brandon. And, unfortunately, man, you know, I thought about making a GoFundMe account so that he'd stay, right? But I there's no chance of that happening, man. And, like, you know, I've heard when we talk to people talking about Carson, I heard 100 people talk about what Zion Williamson can be on the next level. If I had to be quite honest, man, he's an undersized power forward that reminds me a lot of Charles Barkley when he was in college.
I'm glad you didn't say Anthony Bennett.
No, heck no, heck no, heck no. Then, like, he's got an outside – I mean, he's not a consistent jumper, but he does have an outside jump shot.
Yeah.
He can rebound. He rebounds like a terror. He rebounds like a terror, and he gets out – and, like, if he gets out on the break, he's going to hurt your feelings.
And his free throws were bad.
And his free throws are bad. So, that's again, there's things that he's got to work on. But here's the thing, Brandon. Like, coming into college, he wasn't the number one rated high school player. He was not the number one high school rated player. Barrett was. A lot of people said, a lot of basketball know-it-alls, a lot of guys who are on their couch, a lot of guys who think they know about stuff in the water cooler at work or in the barbershop, said that he wasn't going to be able to do that because he's just bigger than everybody in high school. And I said, nah, man. When I watched him, I was like, nah, that dude's going to be special. And he kind of, again, you know, I'm not going to say he defied the odds because the new game never going to be an underdog, okay, unless they're playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, okay? They ain't going to never be the underdog, all right? But he kind of defied the odds and where people said what he couldn't do, and he steadily elevated what he could do. So I wanted to see him play the final game, right? I had him in the final game. So it is somewhat of a sad mark for me because now I got to wait see him in October or November, whenever NBA season starts, right? Because he ain't staying. We know this. But
he'll play this summer.
Oh, yeah. We'll see Summer League. I forgot, right. We'll see Summer League.
Well, he's also going to play in the FIFA World Cup for Team USA.
Okay.
That was announced
okay.
this morning.
Well, I know this. The Knicks, the Phoenix Suns, and the Cleveland Cavaliers the probably three worst teams in the league, right? And I'm, the Lakers are probably hoping, that's why they deactivated LeBron. The Lakers are probably hoping it's one of their little, they're one of the little ping pong balls to somehow get up there. But man, if you're in the lottery, I'm not saying if you don't get Zion Williams, you're not gonna get somebody special or somebody good. But if you could, man, that's who you want. And like I said, I just hate to see him not. I mean, he's an awesome talent to watch. That's period point. Whether you hate Duke, like Duke, or indifferent about Duke, and unfortunately, most of the people on my timeline hate Duke.
Yeah, mine too. Zion, we talk about how bad officiating is. And I sent you a text last night. Jesus, the dude's getting hammered by people in the lane. Two, three guys are all over him, and the refs are just letting it go. I watched nine possessions straight on Duke's end where there was hacking, and the refs just swallowed the whistle. But when it got to Michigan State's end, there was fouls calls or whatnot. But the one they kept replaying, like the guy pulled, they tried to do a lob pass to Zion, and the dude pulled him down, going.
Right.
He pulled him to the ground. Right. I mean, and maybe that's on Zion as well. Maybe he needs to say something to the referees, like, "Hey, man, come on!" Like, maybe.
It's some of those lob passes, obviously, Brandon, were trash. They need to stop doing them.
Yeah, Tyus Jones had a lot of turnovers.
And make a better play. He's a damn difference maker. And it's just a shame that we ain't gonna see him on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the final game because I think they would have beat Texas Tech. But like I said, it's a shame that we're not gonna see him on Monday.
I sent you a thing earlier today, and I want to get your comments on it. Are they the best? Is RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson the best freshman duo in history of the NCAA?
I don't know, man. I know.
They're the first freshman teammates to average 22 and 20.
Yeah, but they didn't necessarily – unfortunately, they didn't get to the final game. I saw a different poll that ESPN or Fox Sports had tried to throw out saying, comparing were they as good as the Fab Five. And, again, I don't like to compare – compare errors is fine in college because college rules ain't really changed, right? But if you get to the final game, then that kind of nullifies anybody saying who's better, right? But, again, Fab Five also didn't win shit, so. I'm not saying Sweet 16 games are not important. I'm not saying Elite Eight games are not important, but you got to win the game, right? I don't want to take anything away from them as players. I kind of wish, you know, Coach had some seniors or some junior leadership on the team that would kind of rally and kind of pull them together. Or guess what, Brandon, got another one done. instead of having three, should have four, right? But
yeah,
I can't necessarily say without, you know, saying that they're the greatest. You know what I mean? Again, they play. Plus, you know what, Brandon? They missed like what, six games where they didn't play together. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard for me to just automatically put them at the top one. Say they're the top one, top two, or top three. They're definitely daggone tops. And I can, it's just hard. It's just going to be a shame that they ain't playing on Monday. I'm going to stick to that. I'm going to stick to that quote.
All right. And then real quick, we'll do our final four predictions, I guess, for the national championship and then champion, since we won't be back on the air until after the champion is crowned. I am going to go with Auburn and Texas Tech, and I will go with Auburn to cut down the nets.
This got to be the most unemotional Final Four for me since Mike Bibby and Miles Simon in Arizona.
Okay.
Oof. I don't care who won that crap either. I'm not saying it's crap. I don't mean that. But I just don't have a dog in the race, man. And, dude, man, what's the kid's name from here with the Lawrence Central?
Kyle Guy.
Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome, is that his name? The other guy with the beard?
Yeah, Jerome. And then the little Asian point guard.
These dudes are going to be Euro players best, ain't they? Oh, my God. They hit some shots out there that they would never – man, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Brandon, I don't want to say it again. I couldn't believe it. And then the kid with the golf ball here, you know, not golf ball here, but the tennis ball here. he hits the most luckiest shot since Keith Smart won a national championship against Syracuse.
But yeah, the Keithy. Was that the Keithy or was that Cisco out there? I couldn't tell Saturday night.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, Return of the Dragon. Man, listen, I don't have a dog. I mean, you like Texas Tech as a team. They run motion, and you kind of want to see what Culver's going to be. You kind of see flashes of Jason Tatum. Just a little bit. Just a little flashes. A little bit. And you kind of know he's going to be a pro on the next level, right? There's no way I'm going to root for Michigan State. It's not going to happen. I don't have this.
Hell no.
I don't think you have. I don't have the fan hate that you have for Sparty, but I just don't like. I mean, no, they beat my team, so I'm not rooting for Michigan State. Take away my fandom. I think Texas. Like I said, I think Texas Tech got. They proved they have a big enough. They have a good enough resume to beat. And playing wise, they have a good enough. They got. They can beat Michigan State. So I'm going with Texas Tech on that side. And on the other side, man, like rah rah rah, sis boom bah, Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers.
Okay. And your champion?
Man. It's going to have to be Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers.
All right, so we're in agreement then. This might be the first time in a while. We're in agreement on it.
If you had to tell me that Bruce Pearl was going to get to the Final Four after painting himself orange way back when, I won't let him live that down. I mean, I think
no, you won't.
I thought it was the coolest thing I ever seen, but I'm like, dude, you're overselling this a little bit, man. Paint yourself orange, man. But so I hope Auburn. I think their colors are kind of orange too, man. I hope Auburn wins. I got Auburn winning, and I hope he paints himself orange again.
Okay, awesome. A little bit of college basketball news from the day. It was reported that UCLA offered Coach Cal very lucrative 6 years, $48 million deal. To be the head coach at UCLA. We mentioned that UCLA is waiting for something because of the teams in the tournament. Kentucky then countered the offer with a lifetime contract extension for Cal and an ambassador role for the university once he retires. And I think it's funny that Kentucky granted permission for UCLA to meet with him. So, like, if you wanted the dude and you're set on the keeping him, why even give another team permission to even start talking? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you had your girlfriend, and you're going to let her kind of start, you want to either be with her or you want her to kind of go back out in the dating scene just to see what's out there to come back to you, you don't want to take that chance. Is she going to leave your ass? So I think, I don't know what Kentucky was thinking.
How many championships has Cal had since he's been with Kentucky?
I think one.
I think it's just one, right? He got the Teague team got there. They didn't win, right?
Yep.
Right. So I don't know why they would. I mean, I guess it's kind of like they don't want to screw Cal over. You know what I'm saying? Cal Perry's always had the air that, you know, looking on my left shoulder, I might go to the NBA. I think that's long gone. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's crazy enough to go back there. I'm like, if you learn anything from the map Rick Pitino drew for him, you know, 40 years ago, right? Like, you don't go back. Like, once you find that you're good at this, don't try to go do something else, man, because you kind of gonna fall flat. You might win a little bit, but you're gonna fall flat on your face. And you know what I'm saying? As anybody else knows, and if you don't know, Calipari used to coach the New Jersey Nets when the Nets were in New Jersey, and it didn't work out for him. Because you're subject to not getting the guys who you want. You're subject to who you draft and who wants to come to your team via free agency, right? So I don't think he's ever going back to the NBA. It might be somewhere of a challenge for him that he wants to do it somewhere in the back of his head, but if he listens to his heart, he better stay in Lexington. Could he rebuild UCLA within 2 years? Absolutely, man. Cal shows these kids the airplane and the boats and whatever else he's got behind the curtain, door number three. Mr.
Yeah.
Monty Hall, and you know, next thing, I mean, he couldn't believe it, Brandon.
Breaking news about the UCLA head coaching position.
Who's taking it?
It's been reported. Jeff Goodman off of Goodman Hoops on Twitter at Goodman Hoops reports. The LA Times is reporting that UCLA is now focused on two candidates. Their top two candidates. TCU's Jamie Dixon, and Cincinnati's Mick Cronin.
Oh, well, that means that's good. That means Matt Painter's going to take a flying kite.
So which one would you go? Which one's a better fit for UCLA, Dixon or Cronin?
I think UCLA needs a national recruiter. And I kind of – you know what? I know we didn't talk about it, but I think that's why Painter was probably on their short list, because Painter's not necessarily a national recruiter. Painter recruits, Painter recruits Indiana hard, and he might recruit, the Midwest real hard. You know what I'm saying? And maybe they go as far as Texas. I mean, it's not like he's going to pull a kid from Florida. It's not like he's going to pull a kid from Texas. Or California, or somewhere up north, or New York, between Jamie Dixon and who?
Mick Cronin from Cincinnati.
You know what? UCLA needs to think about somebody on that Coach K's assistant coaching. I would almost kind of go that route.
I would not be surprised if they try to go after Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett is he's an intriguing name, because he's known to put different pieces from different places. Hell, he got Kyle Guy from Indiana to go to Virginia.
Mm-hmm. I can see him out there.
There's no way Kyle Guy didn't. And he, you know what? You're right, Brandon, because he also used to play, believe it or not, he played a season or two with the Minnesota Timberwolves. That was a long time ago. So he was it Charlotte? It's one or the other. I know it's one of the original.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
He did play a little pro ball, but kind of limited. He's poor man Scott Skiles, right? So, but I can see that too. He's a young guy. It just depends. I can't see those other two candidates. Those other two candidates would jump for joy to go coach at UCLA. But I could if Virginia beats gets to the Final Four, I can see it.
I've got more breaking news. This is just coming out now like hotcakes.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news. A Kentucky spokesman has confirmed that John Calipari has agreed to a long-term deal with the school to finish his career at Kentucky. There was no shot Cal was going to go to UCLA. The only way he would have left the UK was for an NBA job, and would have had to have been a good NBA job. So Cal is signing an extension with the Kentucky Wildcats, so we can put that to bed now. He made more money for him, so good job, Cal. You just earned yourself more money in a lifetime deal. So, hold on a second. We've got more breaking news. Gee, many Christmas. It's just coming. Vanderbilt may have zeroed in on their new head coach. G League coach Vanderbilt's AD ran into the G League prior to the gig. He is interested, and word is Jerry Stackhouse could be the next Vanderbilt coach.
Man, Jerry Stackhouse is going to get fired.
I was wondering what you're going to think of Stackhouse coaching the SEC.
Jerry Stackhouse is going to get fired, man. I'm not saying Jerry Stackhouse hasn't been a good. He has gained a reputation around the NBA world as a competent coach. But the NBA coaching is more like a managing deal, right? Where college recruiting is a whole different animal, different animal, and you got to have the talent. Ain't nobody Bob Knighton, ain't nobody what's the other legend, John Wooden. Ain't nobody coaching them up no more. I mean, maybe Coach K is. I'm not saying there's not great effective coaching going on anymore. But like turning a 2-star or 3-star guy and making him look like a 4-star or 5-star guy, and I know I just poo poo like ranking Simpson, but there's nobody that's doing that no more. So unless you got the ponies, you'll be looking like, St. John's. Chris Mullin and St. John's.
North Carolina freshman Nasir Little tells ESPN he will forego his remaining eligibility and declare for the NBA draft.
No shocker there.
Yeah, no shocker there. So we're just waiting on the Zion confirmation. And then, honestly, we're probably – what?
What's our boy going to do once the Oklahoma City Thunder get bounced? All these coaching jobs
are
going to be done.
He's
got to be losing his mind, man. He's got to be losing his mind that money that UCLA was reportedly going to offer Coach Kyle, he has to be losing his mind right now.
Do you think he gives a call to him and says, hey, hold off? Or have his agent say something? I would.
UCLA's not going to wait that long, though. UCLA's not going to wait that long. The playoffs don't start for like another month. Well, I'm sorry, a couple weeks. And though he can't tell him that he wants to talk to him, right? Because the
right.
Oklahoma City Thunder is like, what, sitting seventh right now? They're not eighth.
No,
but
seven.
They gotta beat. All right, so who's that? They got beat. Can they beat Denver? Can they beat Denver? Can they extend the series with Denver? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's tough. But like, he has to be losing his mind right now. He has.
Well,
to
if you follow the eighth seed,
huh?
If you follow the eighth seed, get swept. See ya.
Yeah, if he gets fired this summer, he'll be back in college basketball, guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh God. Oh God, man. Baby.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Well,
one more year.
The athletic director down there wants nothing to do with any former Indiana players, even though.
He loves
now,
Billy Donovan. Because
yeah,
Billy Donovan was almost the head coach at Indiana.
I can't poo-poo Billy Donovan as the IU coach, okay, if Archie Miller fails. Because Billy Donovan knows what the hell he's doing. He'll go get whomever. And he might even go get a former players to be his assistants or vice presidents or whatever. You know, as Don Crean did, right? With Calvert Cheney. But, Billy Donovan, I know he's losing his mind right now. I know he's losing his mind right now.
Yeah. So, just something to put in your feather, a little feather in your cap there.
Yeah.
Think about. So interesting. But yeah, a lot of breaking news. Don't expect to hear anything from Carson Edwards' camp most likely until May, middle of May, I think, to decide what he wants to do, if he's going to declare or not. He can declare like he did last year and then withdraw by a certain date. So we'll see more to come on that. We'll finish with some NBA and then a couple quick hitters. The Pacers. Stumbling as we're coming down to the end, and they're down by 8 right now to the Pistons, who do not have Blake Griffin, and the Pacers don't have 2 players playing tonight either. So,
yeah, I'm not feeling the vibe the Pacers put on against Orlando. It's one thing to lose, it's one thing, and they were still in that game against Boston the other night, and like, they forgot to play defense on Kyrie Irving for whatever reason. I don't know why, even though Kyrie is, 1 foot out of Boston, 1 foot in Boston. So he's still an elite player, right? So you still have to respect his game. So that, like I said, that was a winnable game. Orlando should have been – I'm not saying they're still at cakewalk because they're trying to win too, but they should have won against Orlando. I hope they bounce back tonight. Detroit, they're not a special team. But I know they're – making a little bit of a playoff noise, a playoff push or whatever, right? They gotta start. Finish strong on the season, Pacers. Come on, finish strong.
I agree. They're gonna end up playing Boston, and right now, they're tied with Boston, but they're gonna probably play Boston in Boston. So it's not looking too good. And really, you just do what you can and. Really, next year is going to be interesting because you don't know who's going to be on this roster next year either. Bogey's probably going to draw more money.
I think Bojan comes back. I think. Dad? I don't know. Unless some goofy Magic Johnson wants to overpay him to come out there to play the stretch position. Because, they need shooting out there in L.A., but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think LeBron James is like, man, Bojan Bogdanovic, come on, Magic, trade me. But honestly, I think Bojan comes back. I don't think Corey Joseph comes back. I think Darren Collison is paid enough. But the thing about Darren Collison is that the knees are getting creaky. I believe it or not, he's got a lot of mileage on those knees, man. And he's probably looking for like one more, at least a good and decent payday, and maybe a decent run in the playoffs. And I don't necessarily think that's going to be with the Pacers. If the Pacers come back as a team that they have right now, they'll finish this with the same record. And it's probably in the same position they are right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's gonna be some, I get what you're kind of saying. There's gonna be some change. Obviously, and with Vic probably not coming back to like January or even February, Pacers not being picking nobody in the top lottery. I mean, but there's going to be some guys that fall that are great guys, juniors and seniors that fall, and it'll fit. I'm thinking, I hope Dawkins comes out from UCF, because I think a guy, even though he's not necessarily a starter, I think he can be a very key reserve. You know, Pacers are great at making, you know, saying guys look good.
The son, right? I'm just confirming the son, not the dad.
Yeah. No, God, yeah, he's 100% too. He played in the league too. He played a couple of years with Phoenix, I thought. But you're right. You're right. You never know what – you don't necessarily know what the team's going to look like at all next year. Yeah. But between Miles and Sabonis, they'll definitely be back. My drafts I looked at, and this was early, though, they had P.J. Washington kind of falling to where the Pacers might be picking at, because P.J. is going to be playing as an undersized power forward and have to play the three in the NBA. I don't necessarily think he's a small forward, natural small forward, but with that talent level, if the Pacers were to pick him up, man, you still like it. You know what I mean? But,
right.
Again, he still just be a young guy. He still be a rookie. Technically, there's somebody who still should be in college or whatever, but the Pacers can – I mean, I think the Pacers ain't going to get swept at all.
No.
They're not. So,
no, not at all. Okay. Let's see what else I've got. A couple quick – I guess quick hitters is what we'll get to now. I don't have anything else NBA-wise right now. We'll get NBA once it starts heating up here at the playoffs. Couple quick hitters. It was announced last week the NFL will now allow replays reviews on offensive and pass interference defensive calls. Coaches will still have their two challenges. Everything under 2 minutes will still remain the same. But now you can review pass interference, offense, and defense. Thoughts?
Why don't we just get better officiating?
In all sports, it sounds like. Football, basketball.
Like, are they going to flirt with the sky judge thing?
Yeah, there's possibly. I haven't heard any more on that yet.
I would rather have sky judge than, you know, a coach. You pick a coach. And throwing a red flag and not knowing when he can throw it, not know, you know, if he should throw it, you know, that's going to be a lot of. I think the human factor. I don't want to say error. The human factor is a part of the game, right? And I get this is all coming from the egregious error that happened with the Saints, right? Maybe it's karma. I don't know. I don't think nobody ever said that. Maybe it's karma for the Saints have to go experience that. I just think that, I don't know, do they find officials? Do they find?
Yeah. Yep, they do.
Maybe they should find them. Sorry.
They also make them sit out, too.
Yeah. Now, maybe they should, like I said, but put more challenges, and like I said, I'm kind of fine with technology being used, you know, extra cameras or whatever, but putting more, you know what, Brandon, I'm even good with putting more refs on the field. How crazy is that?
You already got enough. I mean, shit, referees are getting hit by players and hit by footballs all out there already.
Well, this is occupational hazard. But I'm fine with that before I'm fine with more challenges. Because that's just going to make the game longer, potentially, and it's going to make judgment call like, was that a, you know, dude, I'm not for it. I'm not for it. I'm gonna answer the question.
The Giants are not ready to move on from Eli Manning just yet. They're looking to contract past 2020. Are you kidding me?
Well, if they don't get, and it's obviously a better quarterback class, right, coming out next year. If you believe in the top heaviness of the draft, I don't. You know, sometimes, man, these dudes don't do their homework, man. Well, even somebody who looks somewhat elite is going to get drafted from a quarterback standpoint in the first round, right?
Yep.
But I don't know. They, you know, if Eli looks even worse, then they're just eating that money. You know what I mean? That's what it'll be. If he looks bad, real bad this season, they just eat the money. And okay. when they get their bridge guy, their rookie or whatever, you know, it'll be awkward where they might have to sit him or something like that, or maybe he'll just retire.
Okay. Did you see Walking Dead last night?
I did.
the season finale was last night, so.
Yeah, it didn't punch me in the gut, though.
No, but how about Negan? He's making the way.
Dude,
he's making his way.
I told people he's going to start doing heroic crap, you know what I'm saying, and then he's going to fall in favor. Meanwhile, I'm still thinking, this is the dude that smashed Clint in the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care who he saves. But the way they explain it is that technically Rick's group did bad stuff too. Like, they were pissing in somebody else's pool.
Mm-hmm.
And Negan said, Negan said it himself, not everybody thinks they're evil.
That's true.
He never did himself. He never saw himself as a bad guy. He saw himself as a world in chaos where dead people are trying to eat us, and I'm the only leader that these people see, and I made sense for it. I helped us survive. You know what, Brad? Walking Dead would be smart to do like a prequel where Negan, where we see how he came to be Negan. We see how Rick became Rick, right?
Right.
How did Negan become? You know what I'm saying? Now, he is tyrannical, and I ain't for throwing people into no fire pit, you know what I'm saying, or oven. I'm not with that as far as punishment. I ain't forgot. He smashed Lynn in the head, and he threw another, the redhead.
The redhead.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abraham.
Yeah, him too. Yeah, Abraham. And he threw his own guy in the daggone oven, a furnace. So just because he saves little Judith in a snowstorm, I'm supposed to forget all that?
Judith says. I went and seen Us last night.
Okay.
The movie. I won't do spoilers too much for anybody, but yes, I was confused until I came home and I read a couple of reviews online where one guy kind of took it 12 different ways and how you could think about it, how it goes, and kind of how Jordan Peele's mind went with it. I thought it was over at one point, and then it kind of kept going on. And I forgot, like, I don't know, man. The ending was a hell of a twist for me. I don't know. Like, spoiler alert for the next minute and a half for you that don't want to know the outcome yet.
It's okay.
Listening.
It's okay. Uh-huh.
But to me, I think at the end, I feel like the boy knew his mom.
He also
seemed like he was okay with it. Because everybody is a little bit of two sides.
Well, no. The boy is a tether. He's from the underworld too, I think. Remember he said he started acting weird the year after his grandma passed away, whatever, last year?
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay. Remember he's at the beach and he says, I'm digging a tunnel? Wouldn't have you ever went to the beach to dig a tunnel, Brandon? You dig a beach, you go to the beach to build a sandcastle. You go to the beach to maybe bury yourself. You never go to the beach to dig a tunnel.
Ooh, that's true.
He switched with the other guy. He switched with the other kid. Absolutely.
Huh.
Absolutely.
And my girlfriend pointed out that the reason why the girl, why her voice, why she talked like this, was because when she got choked as a younger kid and she couldn't talk.
Well, because then she went down to the crazy world.
Yep.
And couldn't believe everything's crazy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Couldn't evolve, I guess you can say. So, crazy movie. Jordan Peele's got a sick mind, but I love it. I love it.
I got a sick mind, but I love it. Yeah. I sit there and try to figure it out. A couple weeks ago, and I think I'm pretty good at figuring out movies like when you watch them. And I like, dude, halfway through the movie, I was dead. I'll be honest with you, I was dead wrong. And then at the end of the movie, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess for everybody in the street world that's seen the movie and can't get the song out of their head now, I got five on it. What's that mean? Is it the drugs?
And what they're talking about, yeah. But I got five on whatever. So, like, back in the 90s when the song came out and you had limited cash and everybody wanted, you know, maybe you want a pint of whatever. Not a pint. That would be too – if you ain't got enough for a pint, shame on you, right? But maybe you wanted, you know, what's a fifth or whatever, and you didn't
right.
have enough. Well, you know, you go in on it. So I got five on it, meaning I at least get a little fifth of whatever you got.
Huh?
Or if you're going to buy a bag of weed, with however much, you know what I'm saying, a bag of weed cost back then. I'm not necessarily sure how much weed cost back then versus how much it costs right now, right? Wink, wink, wink.
Right.
But if you didn't have enough to buy it, maybe it was a 20-pack, maybe it was a 30-pack, maybe it was a 50-pack. I got five on it. That just means I at least get five.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll get a joint out of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And that's Street Talk with Jonathan Birdsong for the night on there. It was 19 years ago today, John. WrestleMania 6, Hogan versus Warrior. 19 years ago, or 29, or excuse me, 29 years ago today.
It was 29 years ago? Wow.
1990, April 1st, 1990.
You know, man.
Warrior and Hogan. Great main event.
It was, man. It's one of the first times. I know we talked about it off air about how WWF then didn't book faces versus faces, you know, good guy versus good guy. And that's one of the rare occasions that Vince thought it was, you know, Hogan was wanting to do other things outside of wrestling. And he didn't know how to get the title off Hulk Hogan because he didn't have a big enough heel at the time. So he put it a face versus a face, man. And, you know, as a kid, you still know wrestling is predetermined. I still thought Hulk Hogan was going to win. It was title, you know. I thought Hulk Hogan was going to win. Hell, Hulk Hogan 3 years ago slammed Andre the Giant. Who's this character? He's an ultimate warrior. I don't give a hell how bad he shakes the ropes. He ain't beating Hulk Hogan. But, you know, they decided, you know, this was the route to go. And I think Warrior, he didn't even held the belt for a while. I want to say at least a good 2 year run. But
no, it was it was 8 months, 9 months.
Okay,
because he lost it at the Royal Rumble in 1991 to the Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks to Savage.
You know why? You know why? Because Hulk Hogan is a bad actor and he wanted to come back.
Well, that and the Gulf War, and Vince saw money with the
absolutely.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, because Sergeant Slaughter had major heat
yeah.
when he
said. Hey, did you see, I don't know if you saw, but they were talking on Busted Open Radio this morning. I was listening a little bit to that. That's on SiriusXM. It's all pro wrestling talk. That there was an article that came out about Vince McMahon and the WWE, how the WWE created a monopoly. Not like the game, not the board game, but like Vince kind of said, hey, you know, but really there's been wrestling. They said, when was the closest WWE could have ever had a monopoly? And some of the main guys on there said 1987, but you had the NWA, you had this really the start of WCW, right?
Right. The NWA transformed into WCW. Correct.
So I don't feel
Dark Motion sold out to Ted Turner, and Ted Turner took it over. Yeah,
because they're talking now. Is it a monopoly before the AEW starts? And no, because I feel like you have your Ring of Honor, you got your New Japan Wrestling, you've got all those. So, but it was very interesting. It's so interesting that WWE had actually put out a statement today about it, about those comments that was made in that report. I haven't gone over that those statement yet, but. I just thought it was interesting.
I'll check that. I have to check out that show, man, because I want to hear that. Here's what I'll say about that, Brandon. If you want to be uber successful, ultimately, at some point in wrestling, in the professional wrestling business, ultimately, and I'm saying, and if you're good, you have to go work for Vince McMahon. because he is the main attraction. He gets guys paid. And whether it was Ric Flair, Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, and I know they all have had issues with him as far as pay, as far as what happened to him in the ring or whatever, but he made them millionaires, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, I remember when they was everybody wondering when AJ was gonna go over or when Samoa Joe's gonna go over because they had ref. How many times are you gonna bust your back? And it's no shade to TNA, but it kind of is. How long are you gonna bust your back for TNA for a small paycheck when Vince got a paycheck gonna make that paycheck look like me and your paycheck? Sorry, you know what I'm saying?
I found it real quick. I'll send it to you as well, but I'm going to read just a few inserts of it. The gentleman, his name is John Oliver. He hosts the show on HBO. He's a professional wrestling fan. He says it several times. He's focusing on controversial business practices of Vince McMahon. He opened with a summary of WWE's monopoly on wrestling industry, which includes 1 billion social media followers, 2 popular cable shows, a streaming network, multiple reality shows, video games, and film studio. In 2018, the company generated $930 billion revenue. The billionaire McMahon is more than just a typical CEO. He helped oversee scripts, storylines, yada, yada. As the company's chief decision makers, Oliver argued from having female wrestlers strip in the ring to using the N-word during bizarre backstage bit. While, yes, he's playing a villain there are many other ways that it can be achieved, Oliver cracked. Darth Vader was a great villain, but not once did he drop the N-word. Meanwhile, R2 says pretty much nonstop. It's why he kept getting bleeped. The host assured viewers that the real-life Vince McMahon is also an asshole. The WWE treats its wrestlers as independent contractors, not employees, meaning they're not guaranteed the basic benefits one might expect from a profession where you're routinely getting slammed against a mat and occasionally pummeled with folding chairs. He argues against the WWE's logic of wrestlers being non-employees when they sign exclusive contracts and work year-round. One wrestler's contract included a clause stating, in the event that the wrestler is unable to wrestle for 6 weeks, including due to an injury, the company can terminate the agreement. Another released the company from all liability resulting in permanent injury or in wrestler's death, even if caused by promoter's negligence. Wrestlers' bodies can get smashed up and go under general wear and tear, but McMahon doesn't provide health insurance for his wrestlers for any other injuries that occur in the ring. The host underscored health concerns. Wrestlers who've died young, Eddie Guerrero, 38, King Kong Bundy, 61, Savage, 58, and China, 46. So he goes on and on about the health benefits that Vince McMahon's not shelling out, even though he's using them to make all this money. He can't give them proper benefits.
You know what? Roddy Piper said the exact same thing in the mid-90s, and he still went back to go work for Vince. And I'm not saying none of that has credibility, because, like, Piper wanted a union. Jesse Ventura wanted a union. But, you know, Vince has all the cards. There are some guys though with guaranteed contracts though. I do know that.
Oh yeah.
Or had got guaranteed contracts, and it all, you know what I'm saying, and who you know and how you, and what you know and how you negotiate. You know, that does a lot, reading all hearing all that kind of does leave a bad taste in your mouth. I don't like when wrestlers die. You know what I'm saying, due to the complications due to wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Yes, most wrestlers, whether it been the Junkyard Dog, Mr. Perfect, or you name it, who Eddie Guerrero, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them do, unfortunately, die. Here's the thing, Brandon, right? Do they die because what happened in the ring, or do they die what they put in their body?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. What are they doing on the road? Drugs and alcohol outside the road, too.
Right. There's a slippery slope. There's a slippery slope of what I do think. It is a little unfair that they don't have, like, insurance.
Correct.
But I see Vince's side of the – I see Vince – even NFL guys got insurance, right?
Yeah.
I do see Vince's side – I do see Vince's side just a little bit. And like I said, maybe the article will bring about some change. But like I said, Roddy Piper had said some of those things, and it was kind of what put him and Vince at odds for years. You know, but
yeah.
Piper was, you know – sustainable star or whatever, he made his money elsewhere. But eventually he still came back. Because you know why? Vince has your video. So maybe it is Monopoly, Brandon. Vince has all your video, all your anything that you're going to get paid off of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you have to come back and deal with the devil himself, right? At some point, Brandon, at some point, even CM Punk, who said he never would, he will, because he has to. He will have to.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon owns all his video catalog.
Yeah.
So he has to come back. He has to come back and do what he says.
They announced this weekend's obviously WrestleMania. It's a great time. You'll finally get back to watching WWE once Rollins wins the title. So that would be amazing. Tonight's the go-home shows, which should be really, really good shows. So I suggest you tune in. But Brutus Barber Beefcake being named a Hall of Famer does not sit well with me. What the hell has he done besides ride the coattails of Hulk Hogan? I would have rather seen Rick. I would rather have Rick the Model Martel be in the Hall of Fame than Beefcake.
If he ain't in right, we had talked about it because, we thought Ron Simmons wasn't in, and Ron Simmons got inducted in 2012. If Rick the Model Martel isn't in, because Rick Martel, before he became Rick the Model Martel, actually was a different character, right? He was actually just Rick Martel. He's actually a pretty decorated wrestler. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he needs to be put in. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was a AWA World Heavyweight Champion, WCW World Television Champion, and a WWF World Tag Team Champion.
With Tito Santana, absolutely. Strike Force, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Coattail, Bruce Beefcake, the barber.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell me one thing he's done, man.
The barbershop?
Okay. I'm looking at Brutus' stats right now.
He cut Sherry Martel's hair?
He won one tag title.
Yeah,
he held nine titles throughout his career, including the tag title. But what name do you want to go?
He was Booty Man.
Baron Beefcake. Big Brother Booty, the Booty Man, Brother Brute, Brute Force, the Butcher, the Clipmaster, the Disciple, Dizzy Hogan, Ed Boulder, Eddie Hogan, the Mariner, the Man with No Name, and the Zodiac.
The Butcher and the Zodiac were his most terrible of incarnations. And Kevin Sullivan.
If you have to give somebody 15 different names, they probably don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame if they can't make it with one or two.
Now you're talking about Husky Harris. Come on now.
Hey.
Mike Rotunda's going to get in too.
In 1995, Pro Wrestling Illustrated named him number 75 of 500 top single wrestlers.
He was real popular at one point.
Riding the coattails of Hogan.
Oh, man. Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah, unbelievable. Beefcake. Nah, not my type. WrestleMania, you going to check out any of it this weekend?
Probably not.
Damn. What about Raw tonight? It's going to be a good one.
I'll check out Raw the next day, but I probably won't watch WrestleMania. Absolutely not.
Okay. I'll be watching it, of course. One last thing I have, then we'll go to you. RIP some Nipsey Hussle. Saw the rapper was killed last night in Los Angeles. Yeah, Nipsey.
Yeah. I first heard Nipsey Hussle on some underground CDs. Maybe about 8-9 years ago. Not necessarily a great fan of Nipsey Hussle. My music tastes have evolved from since I was a kid. That's not saying his record, his music is not good. I'm just saying I'm just not a fan of it anymore, right? But he was trying to bring about change with his community. But unfortunately, and there's different theories of like who killed him and what happened. And I know he was working on a documentary about a doctor who had some amazing cure-alls for different various diseases. And, you know, saying there's a conspiracy theory that that's why he was killed. But there's also the reality that Nipsey Hussle is gang affiliated at one point. And that culture out there, Brandon, I know we don't talk about this a lot. I don't really talk about it at all. But that culture, it's a culture of its own, and there are no rules. And you have to be all the way out, not half the way in, not half the way out. You have to be all the way out. And unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, I think that's my personal opinion. I can't speculate, but I think that's what it is. I think this is really a gang thing.
Okay. I've seen a lot of NBA players were talking about them, and LeBron and Steph Curry, and a lot of them were Russell Westbrook and stuff with him. So, yeah, sad to see. And somebody on Twitter was I think it was Bradley Beal that said, you know, all the great things in our culture and stuff is getting shortened.
Right.
With the senseless killings and stuff like that. So, hopefully they'll catch the guy that did that and another nonsense killing there. Real quick, my last thing. So I put a little comment on Twitter and on Facebook. My comment, if Archie Miller Dale does fail at IU next year, do they go after Billy Donovan if he gets fired from Oklahoma City? I've had mixed reactions. Some people say no. Some people say yes. Justin Powell, one of our fellow Crossroad followers, deeply devoted, maybe our number one fan, proven college winner, I say yes, is his quote. So,
hey, when they start talking about great college teams, they never talk about his teams at Florida, and they were pretty darn good. They would, I think, had they stayed together, they all, you know, they all turned pro. Had they stayed together, they would have won the year after that. And they, like I said, they're kind of like the last team that ever went back to back, I do believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, that's kind of all I have for the night. I know we're going to try to go next week, either Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll have to see what the schedules look like, but, what else you got? What do you got to finish on?
This weekend coming up, probably going to see Shazam. Kind of, I grew up as a kid, right? Everybody thought it was a kid, Jonathan. Coming up, it's one of my favorite comic book characters, Shazam. And, like, I've been tracking this movie, you know what I'm saying, reading different reports, different reactions on critics who've seen the movie. It's got, like, a 99% rating from Rotten Tomatoes. That's indicative, like, if you should go see it or not. It's not necessarily going to be necessary. It's not at all going to be anything like what we're going to see in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time with Endgame. This is going to be a fun little comic book movie, and I can't wait to see it on Friday.
Yeah, is Shaq going to be in that one too, the remake?
Shazam, not Kazam.
I had to always do that. I had to joke with you. The one I'm probably going to see this weekend – did not get good reviews, and it hasn't gotten good reviews, but me and the old lady will be seeing – actually, she's going to be out of town this weekend, but we will be seeing the next week the new Dumbo movie from Tim Burton.
Oh.
So, did not get good reviews.
Well, why
so,
one shot.
But and I did see another ad for Avengers, so I'm getting hyped for it. And in the movie last night with us Lindsay did lean into me and say, after that thing was, that movie preview looks good. I probably should have started watching some of these previously, huh? So we've got a lot of research to do for her to get her built up for this movie, or else I'm going by myself.
Get on the $1,000 plan to get paid.
Hey, I'm surprised you're not doing that.
I've already watched them all.
So, Final Four is this weekend. Enjoy it if you want, or do something else. It's going to be nice out. I will give a shout-out April 11th, so 10 days from now, the Indianapolis Indians will be starting down at Victory Field. 60-degree guarantee on Thursday, the home opener. Get out and check out, support your baseball teams. MLB has started. My Reds won the first game, and then they got shellacked on Sunday, and they're getting shellacked right now as we speak. So, not a good start for Sonny Gray, who came in as the Reds' new pitcher. And Puig did okay, but we'll see.
Right.
So,
well,
all right, my man, any final things?
No, I don't have anything. Thanks, everybody, for listening, as always.
Absolutely. Take care. We'll see you guys all next week.
Crossroads Sports.